to the Extra Magic Hour, a Disney Parks podcast. Here are your hosts, Anne Ravanos and Dimitri Ravanos.
To another edition of the Extra Magic Hour. I am Dimitri, and will join us just a little bit later on in the show. But right now, here's Kat. Hi, Kat.
Hello, everyone. Yeah. Okay, our first news story is about Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, and they updated the costume guidelines this year. So I remember people were kind of freaking out when Disney started being more strict with their security and like saying, oh my gosh, like the costumes, we aren't going to be allowed to wear costumes anymore. Great news. Everyone can wear costumes. There's just a little bit of restrictions for adults and a little bit of restrictions for kids under 13. So for kids under 13, the only restriction is that they can't wear a mask that covers the entire face. But they can wear a mask if their eyes are visible, and it can cover the face a little bit, but just not the entire face.
Wait, they can wear a mask. Okay, hang on, I'm a little bit confused here. Yeah. They can't wear a mask where only the eyes are visible?
Right.
That's so weird. Like, I remember this was part of the original restrictions for adults that everyone was so upset about. I don't remember them ever enforcing this with kids.
Yeah, it says the actual quote is, costumes and masks. Some masks may be worn as long as the mask does not cover the entire face and the eyes are visible. So, like, I'm thinking, like, Robin mask.
Right.
So. Right.
Okay, yeah, either Robin mask or, like, something that covers, like, nose and below, maybe.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then for adults, you shouldn't wear layered costumes or props that surround the entire body because it will take longer for you to get through security, and they might actually, like, make you take off some of your layers. Well, it doesn't exactly say that, but that's kind of, like, how it seemed to me.
Yeah.
Because it says it may be subject to additional security screening. Your costumes can't touch the ground, so you can't wear full-length princess dresses.
No Jedi robes either.
No. Capes may be worn, but it can't go past your waist. You can't wear masks of any kind. So even ones that are like Robin masks. But you can have transparent wings, plastic lightsabers, toy swords, and tutus. And you can wear different types of headwear as long as it doesn't cover the face. So, like a tiara or something.
Well, okay, so the headwear and stuff that covers the face, I get.
Yeah.
The not having capes, like having a length restriction on capes, I don't understand that.
I don't get it either, but maybe, like, you can hide something in a cape.
I guess. I mean, so it's weird. They've gotten a little bit stricter and a little less strict, because last year there weren't even toy lightsabers allowed.
Oh, well, that's good.
So, yeah, it's a weird balancing act. All right, what else is in the news?
Okay, the next is kind of two news stories in one. It's so Disney World is draining the pool, the abandoned pool at River Country Water Park, which is right next to Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. They're going to drain it and then refill it with regular water. And they haven't exactly said why, but lots of speculation is going on that it's because they're trying to prevent the Zika virus. And standing water attracts mosquitoes, and apparently there's been a couple of confirmed Zika cases near Orlando.
So is this pool in use or no?
No. It's abandoned. But it has standing water in it now, so it seems like they're going to keep making sure, like, they're not going to use it, but they're going to make sure that the water is always fresh, I guess.
Okay, so this actually makes me wonder if – oh, wait, have they outright said we're not going to use this anytime in the future?
Yeah. Well, they haven't really said anything. It said – Hold on, let me see where if I can find it. Yeah, Disney hasn't exactly made a statement on it. It said all it says is that the work had been planned for a while now, but it doesn't say that it's going to tear down any other parts of the park. It just said the work's been planned for a while, but of course there's always speculation.
Yeah, I wonder why refill it if you're not going to do anything with it, because you know part of the reason too they're going to drain it is because River Country used to run on the water from Bay Lake.
Right.
Which I think since we have learned is filled with a brain-eating amoeba. So, of course, they want to get that out. Especially, by the way, did you see that story from down around Orlando that a kid made a full recovery from that amoeba recently?
Oh, no, I didn't.
I only saw it because a guy that went to medical school with my wife as the medical director of the hospital. They worked on this kid. But, yeah, it's a pretty amazing story. But it makes me wonder if they're going to refill it. Is there a chance that another big pool could be coming to Fort Wilderness? Because as it stands right now, they only have the one main pool for all of the campsites. You know, there's some smaller ones here and there, like some of the moderate resorts have. But there's only one big pool. I wonder if maybe this is going to be going to make way for a centrally located pool for campsites on that end. But if they're not going to tear down any of the other stuff at the old River Country site, I guess probably not.
Well, and I think if they did, that'd be kind of the smart thing to do, because a lot of people are concerned with this pool because it's so close to Mickey's Backyard Barbecue.
Right.
Like, if one child wanders off, then there could be another disaster. So if there was always, if there seemed to always be people there, then less likely of a disaster happening.
Yeah, I guess the thing that I just keep coming back to is why refill it if there are no plans? I mean, there must be some sort of, if not even firm plan, some sort of we've always had it in the back of our minds to do this with this site.
Yeah. Well, and so going along with fighting against Zika, now Disney is offering free bug spray. Well, kind of offering free bug spray. You can go up to a couple of kiosks in the parks and spray yourself with bug spray there. And they're saying the best way to prevent Zika is to not get bit, and so this is the best way to prevent it in the parks, which I'll be honest, like, I've never gotten bit by a mosquito in Disney World, and I'm pretty susceptible to mosquito bites. So, and it's in Florida.
Well, it's isn't it the combination of spiders and the birds on property? Like, I think I remember reading one time that they specifically have mosquito eating birds that they have bred on property to limit that, at least.
Right. Well, you know, there's like a bunch of rumors, and you know, one of those rumors is that there's a dome, but you know, them breeding birds could be a very sorry, I just like lost my train of thought. Could be a very real thing.
You know, this is was Anne living in Orlando? No, she was in San Francisco at the time of H1N1, the swine flu.
Right.
But they always do weird things with this kind of stuff, because obviously I think Disney walks a fine line. They don't want to cause a panic. And don't want to give people reason to think, oh, I shouldn't be in Disney World, by making the presence of, whether it's hand sanitizer for flu season or bug spray now with Zika, by making it, you know, by putting it out front and center, indicates, or I guess highlights, that there's a problem. But at the same time, I feel like they need to be doing more than saying, hey, you can come over here if you feel, you know, this, it almost feels like they're hiding it too much to only make it at two or three stops in each park.
Right. I don't know. Like, I think Disney has also, I read somewhere that this has been Disney's least popular summer in years. And I know they're still making a good profit, but they want those numbers to be at the parks. And so maybe this is saying, hey, like, yeah, there's dangers, but come on anyway, we're protecting you.
Well, you know, it's probably twofold. It's probably, I'm sure there is some Zika fear that is keeping some families away, but also I believe that this is the summer that the announcements of, oh, Star Wars is coming, and Toy Story Land is coming, and Avatar is coming, versus Universal, Harry Potter is here now, and, you know, their quick turnaround times with Universal Creative putting out new attractions, the prices keep rising. I think this is the summer it's catching up to Disney, that they are living too much in the world of nostalgia, not bringing enough new stuff online.
Yeah, I think you're right there too. Speaking of Avatar Land and Toy Story Land, there are two pictures that have been surfaced on the internet, and this is another thing I was going to talk about anyway. But there's one image, and I will link these images on both Two Men and a Mouse and also on the Extra Magic Hour page.
Okay.
The first one is the Avatar Land progress, and there's a picture of the. Now I've never seen Avatar, so the only way I can describe it is like there's this giant log, and it looks like there are bird feathers sticking out of it. And the blog that I follow, who got this picture, said that that's foliage from Avatar. Or from Pandora.
Okay.
And you can see it. So if you're at Disney World or you're going to be at Disney World soon, you can see it from Tiffin's restaurant. So if you go to Animal Kingdom and go to Tiffin's restaurant, you can see this opening or this entrance.
Okay.
To Avatar Land.
So when Anne and I went to Tiffin's in May, the bar at Tiffin's, the outdoor part of the lounge, is as close as you can get to Pandora. But even still, the fence has been, it was at the time anyway, built extra high so that you couldn't peek over. I guess they're starting to give people a little bit of a sneak peek now, or maybe this blogger got a little daring.
Yeah, maybe that's what he did. But like I said, like when I first saw the picture before I like actually read the caption, I was like, that looks like a bird's butt. Like he's like if a bird was like bent over or something. But maybe it actually does look like something from Pandora. So I'll let you guys be the judge of that. So you guys can comment on it. And then there was also another picture that resurfaced of it's like an aerial view of Hollywood Studios. And it's the back of the Streets of America, or what I should say, what used to be the Streets of America. And there's only like this little part of like the New York section still up, and you can see where what's it called, the, oh gosh, I can't even remember what it was now, and it just went down, the car thing.
Oh, the Lights, Motors, Action.
Yeah. The stunt show, you can tell like the stadium seating is like almost completely down on that. There is like nothing in Streets of America. Like I like looked at it and I was like, was that really like that small? Like I didn't realize it. And on this link, it will also have the before comparison for you, so you guys can see what it used to look like in that aerial view too.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that came out this week, I don't know, do you have anything about the Slinky Dog coaster?
No, I don't.
Okay, so the other thing that has sort of come out here in the past week or two is that new renderings are out there of Toy Story Land, and this is now the second time, the third different rendering of the land has come out, and this is the second time that the Slinky Dog coaster looks like it has been scaled down a bit. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's not a good sign, particularly for a land where everything but the Slinky Dog coaster looked like carnival rides anyway.
Right.
I am very nervous about what we are actually going to get with Toy Story Land.
Oh my gosh. It would just stink if it ended up being a disappointment. But maybe like if it's scaled down, it's still going to be awesome, like an awesome roller coaster.
Well, I'm hoping, and I don't know, I just can't think of a way this would be realistic, but at one point there were rumors that Toy Story Land was going to be part of a three-story Pixar complex, where you were going to have Toy Story Land on the bottom, in the middle was going to be Monsters Land, and at the very top was going to be Radiator Springs. But I haven't heard anything on that at all lately, and I feel like if a project that ambitious was coming online, we would have at least heard about patents and stuff like that being filed.
Yeah, that just seems very ambitious, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for people that have been to California Adventure, they know how amazing Cars Land is. I mean, I don't know if I've talked to you about this. I know we've talked about it before on the podcast. When the first time I ever saw Cars Land was when we were running the Star Wars 10K before the day before the half marathon, and it's like we turned a corner in California Adventure, and it's like, oh my God, you're in the movie. It's that kind of breathtaking. I don't know if they have the room to do that if they're going to do it as part of a three-story complex in Florida.
Yeah.
So anyway, I mean, it's worth keeping an eye on, and especially now that this odd scaled back version of the Slinky Dog coaster is out there in renderings.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a rumor this week.
Oh, good.
And this is kind of an old rumor, but there's been sparkings of it on the internet again, so that's the only reason I'm bringing it up. So everyone knows that Guardians of the Galaxy is pretty much coming to the Universe of Energy at Epcot, but the rumor is that it's going to be a roller coaster attraction now. And so I know some people are really upset with this because, you know, Epcot is kind of supposed to be, Future World is supposed to be like the, what it's going to be like tomorrow, the community of tomorrow, pretty much.
Right.
And so they're kind of upset that Guardians of the Galaxy is coming. Some people are excited about it because they're like, yeah, Tower of Terror is being saved and Universe of Energy sucked anyway. But so now that it's a roller coaster, once again, those are kind of, people are either like really hyped about it or not so much. But it would be the first roller coaster in Epcot ever. And it'd be the only one that's considered like, or it would be the sixth ride that could be considered a thrill. And honestly, I think Future World does need another thrill ride because you can't really count Mission Space as a thrill ride. You can't really count Soarin' as a thrill ride either. Now, I love both those, but they're not really super thrilling, you know, like a roller coaster.
Yeah, you know, here's the other thing, too, and I've heard this a lot with the argument against Guardians of the Galaxy coming in, is here is another ride where Disney is sneaking in a movie instead of, you know, creating something new, creating something original. You know, they did that a long time ago with Universe of Energy because when they added Ellen, her show was on ABC. Bill Nye the Science Guy was on ABC Saturday mornings. Universe of Energy is just it's not a sacred cow attraction anymore.
No.
And I think people have to get used to a lot of things. Number one, you have to embrace the fact that Epcot, as it even stood when it opened in 82, it was never what Walt had in mind, what Walt Disney had in mind. So you have to stop looking at it as if that's what it is, and somehow Walt's vision is being destroyed, because Walt's vision never even came to pass.
Right.
I'm okay with Guardians of the Galaxy going in for a few reasons. Number one, I really like the movie a lot. And number two, just like you said, Epcot needs new life. I mean, there is nothing after Test Track, Soarin, and, you know, the Frozen Ever After that even intrigues me about that park, except for restaurants.
Right. And I really do like walking around the world. I'm like out of it today or something. But you're right. Like, there, you know, you go to theme parks to enjoy thrill rides, and there's just not a lot there. And I know, like, walking into Epcot, you know, like, you're not gonna have as many rides to ride as like Magic Kingdom, but it's still something to look forward to. But there is another rumor going around also about this roller coaster that it's gonna be similar to Tron in Shanghai. And so I've only seen videos, like very short snippets of the Tron ride, but that ride does seem pretty cool in Shanghai, so
I guess
I'd be up for it.
I'm just trying to figure out what vehicle it would be that you're supposed to be, because the Tron, the light cycles work. It works perfectly for that roller coaster. You know, I think the thing to remember is this is going to time perfectly with the, I'm going to guess, home video release of Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
So there is probably a lot going on with this ride that we aren't familiar with yet because we've not seen it brought to life on screen.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, we saw Guardians of the Galaxy, but I don't really remember a lot of it. And I think part of it was because we were at a drive-in, and those are kind of hard. Sometimes yeah. they're hard to, like, pay attention to. So, but I remember Rocket Raccoon was hilarious. And Chris Pratt is a pretty good actor, too.
It was, it's my favorite superhero movie that has come out so far.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe we should watch it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Give it another whirl. All right, Kate, yeah. thanks so much.
No problem. Bye.
Hey guys, this is Corinne Chandler from Mousellaneous Discussions, the Disney television and movie talk show here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, reminding you that every Monday is Mousellaneous Monday on WDPN. Kate Smith, Kevin Kessler, and I pick a different Disney topic to discuss each week, ranging from top five lists to movie reviews to major announcements coming out of the Walt Disney Company. Then we close the show out with Kate's Disney Recipe of the Week, where she'll teach you how to make a variety of dishes only found in Walt Disney World, and I pose a trivia question to you all, meant to test your knowledge of all things Disney. So please tune in every Monday morning on iTunes, Stitcher, and WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com for a new and magical episode.
Nobody cares, Corinne.
Shut up, Kevin. I'm plugging your network.
Oh. Okay, keep going. I like your announcer voice.
Thank you. Mousellaneous Discussions on WDPN. Come join us and let's get magical.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
All right, so now we bring in Dave Tavers. He is the brains behind MouseMingle.com. And if you remember, I'm going to say 20 or so episodes back, you know Ann and I are just fascinated by this website. So, Dave, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with us tonight.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's just get the basics out of the way. Where did the idea for the site come from?
Necessity is the mother of invention.
That was actually the real question I wanted to ask. Was this invented for you or for friends?
It's for me, really. About 5 years ago now, some friends were visiting from Seattle, and they're both geeks as well. And they said, why are you still single? Why aren't you on some dating sites? I said, I'm on all the dating sites, but none of them have a checkbox that says I have an annual pass to Disneyland. And I said, maybe I should make a site like that. And one thing led to another. And that night, Jen actually came up, one of my friends, Jen, she came up with the domain name in like 2 minutes.
Wow.
And I registered the domain name and then just got really busy for about 4 years.
Okay. So I've got to ask, how many dates have you set up as a result of the site? Like how, not just you, but the average user, how many different like relationships, dates, whatever is the average user making on this site?
I couldn't tell you. People don't report that. And for me, I've probably been on half a dozen dates, but I've been pretty busy. Things kind of exploded literally one day after I turned the site on.
Uh-huh.
When Conan O'Brien talked about it literally on December 2nd, it just went crazy after that.
Wow.
And that was just pure luck. And since then, for the first at least 4 or 5 months, I just was heads down, didn't even go into my personal profile, except when I was testing things.
Right.
And, you know, there's things to fix. I did not expect the site to explode the way it did. So I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah, and not only did Conan O'Brien talk about it, but then it seems like a couple of weeks later, I mean, both Orlando and L.A. area news stations did stories about it.
Yeah, I did some phone and Skype interviews in London, in Ireland, Chicago, Florida, and a few other, you know, Disney fan podcasts. Got tons of other press, and that's all fantastic. And I wish I could say that I'm some genius, but it just kind of happened. You know, people want a way to connect with others that have that same passion that they do. And I don't know where you guys live, but I live 9 minutes from Disneyland.
Yeah.
And it's hard enough even here to find other single people or even friends that want to go to the park and hang out. Most of my friends are married. Half of my friends are Disney nuts, but they have kids or jobs.
Right.
That they just, you know, we have the same passion, but we don't always get to do the same things together. So it's nice to find other people to just hang out with, to go see a Disney movie or go to a park or, you know, go see some special event or go to D23, whatever.
I don't mean to one-up you by living 9 minutes from Disneyland, but I'm only 8.5 short hours away from Disney World.
Oh, jeez.
So let me ask you about that, because you talked about finding friends, and our buddy Kevin Kessler talked about some friends of his that used the site not for dating, but just to find other like-minded people, to find their crew, so to speak.
Right.
Is that something you're seeing a lot of?
You know, I just barely started looking at numbers of people that have selected the different types. When the site first started, I purposely have four different options. There's dating and marriage, of course, but there is park pals and friendship, because exactly that. Maybe I'm not looking to fall madly in love. I mean, I am, but I don't need to fall madly in love with everybody. I want to find other people that share the same interests.
Yeah.
And if that just means going to the park with somebody or going to see a Disney movie, yeah, I think the friendship part is really important.
So then there are different, I guess, relationship outcomes. I don't know a better way to say that you consider a success, because there are, like you said, four different options.
Right, right. And I have not been actively tracking people down saying, hey, who have you met and how many dates have you gone on and who have you hung out with?
Yeah.
Part of it is I don't want to be overbearing. I don't want to scare people into thinking that I'm watching them or following them.
But you are, of course.
Well, no. I've only just, like I said, started looking at some of the data to see what are people selecting. Are more people selecting friendship or dating or park pal or marriage? I've just been working on the database query, so I haven't even studied any of the outcome yet. But
yeah, it's interesting. I think this is something that you I can't say that you, the general public. I'll speak for me personally. This is something that I didn't even realize was as popular as it was with Disney fans our age, because I think you and I are about the same age. But going to the parks alone, particularly people in my situation that are, you know, 8.5 hours away, but going to the parks alone together does seem like the kind of thing that, man, that's a market base that just a traditional dating app, Disney themed traditional dating app would not have ever hit on.
Right. Well, and there's a lot of Facebook groups and websites that are dedicated to Disney fandom and, hey, you know, let's connect and go see a movie, do all that kind of stuff. But they're all kind of generic. I don't know. I'm on a lot of those groups, but yeah. I didn't end up doing a lot. I feel like having a more dedicated, focused app website can kind of give people that chance to search and find and read about other people, rather than having it be kind of everybody's on and commenting about the latest news or whatever.
Right. So you said you don't want people to feel like you are hovering over the site like a Big Brother type character.
Yeah.
But do people that get on the site know that Dave Tavers is the one that created it?
I'm going to say probably not.
Okay.
And I don't need to be anybody.
Well, I guess the question that sort of I really have there is, do you have people that know that there is a single human being behind it, not a big company, that if they have problems, whether it is technical or whether it is with other users, that they can turn to?
Got it. From the first article and many of the articles that have mentioned the site, almost all of them mentioned me as well. And right. It's a common question. How did you come up with the idea? Why did you do this? So I think a lot of people who read the articles know that, yeah, it's just me, you know, me behind it. Or I've got a couple people helping as well right now, answering emails and technical issues. But for the most part, this was not a big company behind me. This is something I worked on for about 8 or 9 months, nights and weekends after work, and just finally said, okay, it's time to get it out there, because otherwise I'll spend 2 years working on it. I'm in the software industry. I'm a program manager and a software geek. So part of my life is saying, hey, get something shipped, get something out there. Otherwise it'll never be perfect. So just put it out there.
Right.
And yeah, I didn't have anybody else. I mean, I had friends. I was always bugging people in the office. Hey, I'm trying to do this on the, you know, technical side. Or I'd have other friends. I'd say, hey, should I do it this way or that way? And I did have a logo contest on 99designs.com and that stuff. But it was just me, you know, for the most part, pulling it together.
Yeah. So overall, I guess you said you really haven't done much of this in terms of like site feedback to get the overall like satisfaction with the experience from your users.
Well, people do send messages, and if they delete their profile or any time every month, I think an email gets sent out to them saying, hey, fill out this little survey.
Oh, okay, cool.
Lots of great feedback. Much of it is the obvious things. The site, I did not expect to go viral. Mm-hmm. I thought this was going to be a kind of a slow burn. Somebody I'd work on the weekends. There would be, you know, a few thousand members, and it's gotten way, way bigger than that. So it was just, it's more than I can handle by myself. And part of that is, if you want to do something at the level of Match.com or eHarmony, those guys have been around a long time. They have tons of money, and I don't.
Yeah.
So it's a little at a time. You know, I'm working with a few different people here and there for a couple hours at a time as I can afford it, and to say, hey, how do we make this better or that better? And I'm also limited on the technology that I'm using, because to write a site from scratch like an eHarmony or a Match.com, again, they've spent millions of dollars. They have hundreds of employees, and I don't have that. So I'm using a turnkey system that I'm limited in some areas, and I want to make it better. And that's a lot of the feedback that people give is, hey, this doesn't work right, or that should be better. I completely agree. I don't like how some of the features work, and it's just a matter of time.
Right. Have you considered going the Christian Mingle route and making your own movie?
Well, I'll say, yeah, actually, probably 3 years ago when I kind of pitched the idea to friends here and there just for fun. And when I was explaining to a friend up in Seattle who is not a Disney nut, she doesn't hate Disney. She's just not one of us.
Right.
And she says,
one of us.
she said, I don't get it. I don't understand how are people like, you know, how is it that people love Disney so much? I say, I don't know. But I say, you've got people that really, it's a lifestyle. Every day they read, they talk about it. People have Disney tattoos, all kinds of things. And at that point in talking to her, I said, there's lots of movies and documentaries about Disney, and lots of people have done things about attractions and parks and Imagineers. I said, it'd be really interesting to do a documentary on why are people so fanatic about Disney in general?
Yeah.
And she as her and I talked through it some more, she started to understand. But she doesn't live the lifestyle the way we do. So yeah, that idea was there a couple of years ago, but it's unlikely I'm going to have the time or money to pull that off. So well, I'm sure someone will do it.
Did you know, by the way, the Christian Mingle movie was directed by Corbin Burnson?
No.
That it's true. I'm as surprised as
wow.
you are.
Well, and to be honest, I don't even know what the Christian Mingle movie is.
Oh, it's called Christian Mingle. Look it up.
Oh.
It's unintentionally the funniest movie you'll ever see.
Really? Okay, I will look it up.
It
who doesn't love L.A. Law, right?
Absolutely. It's both the movie, not L.A. Law. It is both a hoot and a holler. So I highly recommend it. All right, so let's get into well, let me ask you this before we get into the seedy stuff that I really want to know. You said that this was something that for a long time was all about nights and weekends, and you still have your day job. You know what I mean. You have your your main job. Is the plan for this always to be a hobby that you're a little more invested in than the average hobby, or do you foresee a day when Mouse Mingle can be your one and only responsibility professionally?
So I have recently left my normal day job so that I can focus on this as much as possible. Again, part of it is...
Well, disregard that question then.
No, I think that's it's a good question, but I have so many ideas and so many things how I want to make the site better, how I want to bring people together. It's just a matter of, you know, one person can only do so much. And right. I'm also afraid of making wrong decisions. As any business owner can attest to, you don't always know what the right answer is, what's going to upset people, what's going to give you a bad name. Sometimes people will be offended at something when you have absolutely no intention at all of doing that. So, yeah. There's just a lot of priorities, and I'm juggling right now. I'm working on the mobile, the customized mobile apps are in progress right now. I'm hoping in the next few weeks to have them up on the Android and iOS store. Mm-hmm. But for now, it's just a temporary apps. You know, I have a developer that I work with for, you know, a few hours here and there to make some changes to the site that the main company that makes the software releases.
Yeah.
I'm working on, you know, marketing plan right now with a marketing person, but it's a lot of different things that I don't know how to do all of them. So it's a big learning curve.
All right, let's get to the questions that are going to make you as the proprietor of the site uncomfortable. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right. Have you ever heard of any problems, any users getting a little bit, let's say, inappropriate with other users?
Oh, yeah. Of course. And I, just because we're all Disney fans doesn't mean that there aren't people out there that say and do terrible things.
That's sort of like, absolutely. Like, I knew the answer to that was going to be yes.
Sure.
The follow-up question there is, what do you do as the proprietor of the site, aside from kick them off? I mean, I would imagine when this is your baby, there is an element of feeling powerless when someone comes to
you
and says that this is a problem.
Of course. And I obviously... I feel guilty or I feel bad when I get those emails from women that say, hey, this guy has been whatever. So I will go and look at the messages. You know, I'll when they forward the messages, I'll read those, find out what was being said. And the people that are obviously being rude or disgusting, I will ban them if they are just over the top and they're not even trying to be subtle about it. Then there's the people that are just annoying and will just keep sending messages to women, either that the women have already said not interested,
right?
And they'll keep sending messages. Those people I'll send warnings to and say, hey, cut it out or you're going to get banned. And then just like any one big thing about Mouse Mingle is there are no fake profiles that I have created.
Right.
A lot of other big dating sites, there are thousands or tens of thousands of fake profiles designed to get people to log on, send messages, and then they go into a black hole because they don't exist. I did not create any fake profiles other than during the testing phase, but I mean, on the live side, there's no fake profiles. Mm-hmm. But of course, there are plenty of scammers out there that create fake profiles. They pretend that they're real people. Sometimes they do a good job, and luckily members will send a message over, they'll flag users and say, hey, this is a scammer. But we've been building in some more and more features to, you know, watch to make sure people aren't adding in PII, personally identifiable information, because we don't want someone to end up with a stalker. We don't want people to be saying, hey, send me an email at, you know, this address, and it turns out that they're just doing email collection.
Right.
So they can send you junk. So I'm really, that's every single day, that's one of my biggest priorities, is to keep the site clean and make sure that people are not being abused, and to make sure that people are not sharing information that can be stolen, you know, by quote unquote the bad guys out there.
Of course. So I know the answer to do people use the site for casual sex is yes, because if there's a website out there, people use it for casual
right.
sex.
Sure.
The question then is, has anyone ever bragged to you about, oh, I've gotten laid this many times off of Mouse Mingle dates?
No. Well, certainly nobody's emailing me, and almost all of my friends are married. So no, and they won't even go onto the site without talking to their spouses, the men or the women. I'm like, they know me. I'm asking you to go look at the site and right. You know, give me some feedback. I have had a lot of people that have said, hey, you need to add something for couples because, you know, we've been married for 4 years. And we love going to the park together. We want to find another couple to go to the park together with. So, and I get that. And that's kind of, you know, that's in the back of my brain. It's one of those priorities. Yeah, but
you
know,
the second you create that option, everyone's going to think that this is some sort of swinger situation.
Right. And that's a big concern because I'm not Disney, but I want this to be as Disney as possible. So right. I don't want anything to anybody to think that there's anything weird going on or whatever. So you're right. I need to just work through that. But like I said, it's one of those things on the list. It's just not high on the list at the moment.
Right, of course. So the last thing I'll ask you before we let you go is, I know you said you don't do a whole lot of like regular looking at stats, but do you know what it is most people are coming to the site looking for? I mean, have you been sort of amazed by how many people want the friendship versus the marriage and relationship?
So the biggest thing I've seen, whenever profiles get flagged because they're putting in email addresses or phone numbers, we look at those, we'll remove that information. And I'm always reading those profiles to see what's going on. And a lot of people are saying, hey, I'm looking for someone to hang out with. I'm looking for someone to go to the park with. I'm looking for someone to go to a movie with or, you know, plan a trip to a park. So it looks like there is a lot of people that are looking for that friendship and that connection. Doesn't necessarily have to be love. Hopefully things turn into that. But I think a lot of people want that little more casual, fun side rather than getting too serious right up front.
Dave Tavers, man, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. And one of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network? Join the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hey, WDPN listeners, this is Allie Eibler from the Geek Watchtower. And as you know, we live in the golden age of geek culture. With all the movies, television shows, comic books, video games encompassing the world of geekdom, it can be a real chore to keep up with all of it. Well, here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, we have a little something called the Geek Watchtower. Kevin Kessler, Chris Doherty, and I run down the latest geek news items every Friday morning for you, before we focus on a fandom feature topic of the week. We're talking about everything from Batman to the Avengers, anime, Doctor Who, Disney, Nintendo, and so much more. So make sure you join Kevin, Chris, and I every Friday morning in the Geek Watchtower, where we monitor all the things that geeks watch. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course at WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com.
Oh, finally you got here.
Let's start over. This is stupid.
You're stupid.
Bye.
Dang.